Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. My goodness, is there a lot going on. The Titans signed Calvin Ridley, and I said thank you, thank you, thank you, Santa Ran Carthon. Ranta Claus, if you will. Thank you for bringing this team a certified number one receiver. The Titans also signed Mason Rudolph. The Predators with a massive win on the road in Winnipeg yesterday. It is SEC tournament time at Bridgestone Arena. Round one tips off in just over an hour. Mississippi State and LSU will keep you updated with all of the SEC tournament action throughout the show. And today's edition of Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is at BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. It's where the Patron Club used to be, if you are familiar with the Patron Club. It is nice. It's a beautiful day. They've got the windows open. Broadway is popping. I see a bunch of Kentucky shirts and Tennessee shirts and Mississippi State shirts. It's a good day. D. Mace is here. Willie Donick joins us from Seattle. How are we doing?
Doing well, man. Caroline, Willie, I'm sure, Willie, you've been here before, BetMGM. But this is my first time. This is a wonderful place. It's
beautiful.
Unrecognizable considering what the last, what they used this space for the last time. It seemed like they just revamped the whole thing. They've opened up the windows. More sunlight comes in and a bunch of televisions. Set two floors, basically.
Uh-huh.
It's nice. I love it up here.
They have great food, too.
Oh, man. I got my tea, so.
You're taken care of on the tea diet. Willie D, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. It's bright and early here in sunny Seattle. And
better than Winnipeg, man, huh?
It's improved. It's improved. No question about it. I'll take what we got in Winnipeg, weather-wise, that's for sure. But, I miss hanging out with you guys. It is truly becoming March Madness here. You add all this free agency, the NFL, to the already – busy schedule with all the college basketball games going on, all the big hockey games down the stretch. It's really an exciting time. I mean, there's so much going on. It's awesome.
Well, Willie, hopefully y'all were able to bring some of that heat the Predators were putting on the ice. Hope you were able to bring some of that heat to Seattle.
Well, let's hope. I mean, that was one heck of a performance last night. Man, they just took it. Two, one of the best teams in the NHL last night. I don't think anybody would argue that Winnipeg is one of the five or six top dogs in terms of contenders for the Stanley Cup. And it was no contest last night. Nashville just beat them for three periods, took a 4-0 lead early in the third period and sort of coasted from there. If you just saw the final score, it wasn't even that close.
Yeah, Willie, you said it. The Predators take down the Winnipeg Jets yesterday in their home barn 4-2. And it was really just kind of garbage time final goal. Like, it was 4-0 Predators, and they came out on an absolute heater. And like you said, Willie, they're a certified cup contending team. And going into yesterday's game, I thought that there was really two ways that you could have looked at that matchup. And maybe both things were really true at the same time. First and foremost, you could look at it and say, look, Winnipeg is a really good team. The Predators, throughout that point streak and the win streak, have given themselves enough cushion in the playoff standings that they could afford to drop a game and still feel comfortable understanding how good of a team Winnipeg truly is. But also on the other side of the coin, you could have looked at the game and said, this right here is a litmus test. That the Predators, what Barry Trotz did at the trade deadline, very much so proved to me and probably proved to you that the Predators are making a push for the playoffs. They don't want to just get into the playoffs. They want to be competitive in the playoffs. So they're now taking on a cup-contending team in their own home arena. Now, this is a measuring stick kind of game to see, okay, now that you find yourself in a comfortable position in the standings, how competitive can you be against a cup-contending team that you may, there is a high possibility that the Predators could face the Winnipeg Jets in the first round of the playoffs. So I don't know how you could step away from last night's game. How the Predators were just on it. The energy was there. They were clicking on all cylinders from the very beginning of the game and not feel super encouraged about what the Predators, how competitive the Predators could be in that first round of the playoffs. And I know we have a lot of hockey left. I know you have to get in the dance before you advance in the dance. But what a good measuring stick for those Nashville Predators. They looked fantastic last night. You see Saros was playing well. They got contribution up and down the lineup. We've said that is the formula for this team to win games.
Yes, and you know, we've been saying all year long the Bruno effect is really something to watch. Andrew Burnett is going to join us at 11:30. When you look at underlying numbers, their system gives them a chance each night. But now they continue to convert more of the chances, and now they're getting the really good goaltending that they should have had all year long that for whatever reason they didn't for a little over half of the season. But you put it all together now, and I think your question is starting to become a legit question, and that is, if they get in, are they going to be quite as big an underdog as they would seem? And I'm not sure after a game like that. But I don't think you're going to get Andrew Burnett to say much about that until they actually get an X by their name and clinch a playoff spot, because a lot can happen for sure. But when they put their best out there, I just wonder how much of the gap they've closed on some of these heavyweights who have we been talking about. They all loaded up. Winnipeg was one of them. They added new guys. And there's still, I think, an adjustment period for some of the teams that did add some players. And the Predators would be in that mix, right? Jason Zucker and Anthony Beauvillier are still getting used to how you play in the Bruno effect, right, in the Brunette system. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be something that happens over the next few weeks. But by the time the playoffs start, I think that is going to be something to see is, are the Predators as big an underdog as, say, they were a couple years ago when they got in as the last seed? I'm not sure that's going to be the case this time, if they can stay playing the type of hockey they're playing right now.
Well, this is what you typically see, especially in sports that, you know, have a long season. It's hard to kind of see it in football when you hire a new coach. You know, it takes some time to really see the team sort of get itself immersed in what the coach actually wants. And in football, you really just don't have, you know, 20, 25 games to try to, you know, figure it out. Yeah. Usually, if you figure it out, it's a little bit too late, and then you go into the next following season on a better note. Hockey, baseball, basketball is a little bit different. When you get a new coach, he changes the system. He or she changes the system. It's going to take you a minute. It may take you that first half of the season. And what you try to do is you try to just stay above water until you try to figure it all out. And it seems like now, with the way UC is playing, the contribution they're getting from their, you know, the secondary scoring that they're getting, it seems like now they're figuring it out. And I said this to you, Willie, I think last week. I said, if they continue to play like this, and you mentioned it just a few minutes ago, if they continue to play this way, if they continue to get the play that they have gotten from UC Soros, I don't see them going into the playoff as an underdog. I think if they get past that, no, because of the way they're playing. They may not have all the marquee players, but they're playing as a team, and they're playing within the system. And it seems like now that UC is back on his game, it seems like everything else is coming into play. Not to say they figured everything out, but I think the core of it, they know, like Willie said, they know how to play in this Brunette system now. And I think that's going to speak volumes once they get into the playoff. I believe, Willie, this is not going to be, if indeed they continue to play this way and get into the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be a surprise if they win a first-round game, I mean a first-round series. I really don't, because they're playing like a team that can win a first-round series, at least to me.
Well, I think anything can happen in the playoffs. When you take a look, Florida last year.
Coach Willie coming out. In. Coach Willie, like, taper well, it down, it. Taper it.
Right. Barely got in, the Panthers. Right? Played the Bruins, who had historically high numbers. Nobody had ever won as many games as they had in the salary cap era. They absolutely
those big, bad
dominated.
Bruins. Uh-huh.
And Florida beat them in the first round. So upsets like that happen every year. Now, the Predators, one thing that you said really stood out to me, Derek, they are playing. You look at the names on the sheet, and outside of Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi, and UC Soros, you're not seeing all-stars. But you're seeing a team that is playing really well connected and together. And when you do that, you can beat teams, right? There's not a huge difference in the league because of the hard salary cap. It's a lot more even than people realize. So it's the teams who can play together. Now the question is, can they keep moving this product? They're probably at some point going to cool off a little bit, right? They can't just go undefeated. It's amazing how they keep doing this. 11-0-2. I don't know how much longer it's going to go. And they still need more points just to qualify. But if they can take something close to this into the playoffs, I think they'll have a shot. It will be a shock, I think, around the league if they knock off somebody like Vancouver or Colorado. I think it's really probably down to four teams they could play if they make it. And that would be Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, or Vancouver. It's going to be one of those four. And it's musical chairs in the Central Division. Colorado just got a huge come-from-behind win last night to get up there. Nashville beating Winnipeg knocked them down a little bit. Dallas blew a 3-0 lead to Florida the other night and lost in overtime. So those three are really in a horse race for the top spot. But so you're going to go up against one of the four best teams, I think, in the entire NHL in the first round. But I'm thinking a little differently than I was a couple months ago when they were in the playoff spot, but you're thinking, they get in, it'd be great. It would just be a nice feather in the cap to be able to say you made it, but you would be a big underdog in a playoff series. Now, again, a lot can happen. There's injuries and all these things that can make your team look a lot different than they do today. But I'm just really encouraged about what they've been able to do here when they're clicking.
And going into the season, Barry Trotz set the expectations very clearly and I think very fairly that we're going to try to win as many games as we possibly can. But our end goal is ultimately building a cup-contending team, and we're not there yet. So I think going into this season, Predators fans could live with the fact that maybe they won't make the playoffs and we're going to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. The ante's been upped. Ante has been upped. It's not just, maybe we can find ourselves in the playoffs. MoneyPuck.com gives the Predators an 89.8% chance of making the playoffs, 28.2% chance of getting to the second round of the playoffs. Willie, I know that this is probably so uncomfortable for you to say, but Predators are a playoff team.
They're playing that way.
An 89.8% chance of making the playoffs. Like, they're making the playoffs.
Can't you say, Willie, it's just like your kid. If he or she goes into a new class and you sort of taper expectations, whether it's a chemistry class or an algebra class, whatever it is, you taper the expectations because this is their first algebra class or first chemistry class. But once they show you that they can do the work, you expect more of them moving forward.
Yeah.
That's the Nashville Predators. It was, they're going to win as many games as they can. They may not make it to the playoffs. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, they're in the playoffs. Now they're showing us that they can beat top-ranked teams. So now we expect that from them moving forward.
Expect is a strong word. I do think the playoffs are different. But as far as making the playoffs, there's 15 games left. They have 80 points. If they were to go 500, 7-7-1 in the last 15, that would put them at 95 points. That's going to be awfully tough for any of the teams below them to top. They would have to be completely lights out. Now, as we've said, Minnesota has got a very soft part of their schedule for the next couple weeks. In fact, and the Blues won last night. There's actually two games between the Blues and Minnesota. You'd really prefer them to split those two games. That would be nice, so that one team doesn't grab all 4 points, because really that's what it would take. One team to go on an incredible run, and the Predators to play less than 500 between now and the end of the season. And that, stuff happens. A lot can happen in about a month. You still have a month to play before the playoffs get going. But right now they're just going to keep their head down and keep doing their thing, because their thing right now is it's really fun to watch, is really what it is. I mean, you look at the Michael McCarron's line with Sherwood and Smith, like every line's got their own little identity and they all sort of do the same. They do their job and it really grinds and wears teams down. And Winnipeg had no answers last night.
It is fun. I think that's the perfect, like, that's like the only word that I could use to summarize this Predators team, what, since the 9-2 butt whooping against the Stars about a month ago. It's just been fun. It's a fun brand of hockey. It's fun to watch this team go from where they were, where it was ups and downs and highs and lows and inconsistencies, to now a big enough sample size to say that they have consistently been playing their best hockey of the season. It's fun to have games that matter. It's fun to have the hype and the anticipation in this month of the year. You don't want hockey games that, you know, it's just, all right, let's just finish out the season and move forward. No, you want games that matter on March 14th. You want games that matter in mid to late March. And right now, these games matter for the Nashville Predators. And it is just freaking fun. And like Willie said, Andrew Burnett will join us in just over 10 minutes. And this isn't me just stroking the ego of Andrew Burnett before he comes on our program. Mm-hmm. I talked about how Barry Trotz is expectations going into the season, as we have talked about ad nauseum, that Predators fans are well aware of, was, look, we're going to try our best. If that's enough to squeak into the playoffs, then great. And if it's not, then we're going to still move forward and we're going to do what we can to keep building this team. That was a true and honest evaluation and fair expectation set by Barry Trotz. I don't think that was, let's set the bar low so anything above that is exceeding expectations. No, I think that was a true and fair evaluation of Barry's team. Yeah. So I have to give a lot of credit to Andrew Burnett, because the coaching job that Andrew Burnett has done this season, this team that it was, I know Sean Henry's fired up about it. He's fired up about how these Predators are playing.
Well,
but the coaching job that he has done so far this season has been very impressive.
I'll tell you, if they can get an X by their name, mm-hmm. I believe, so keep getting the work done, get in there. I really believe he should get strong consideration for the Jack Adams Trophy for Coach of the Year. I don't know if he's going to win it. I think it's been under the radar largely until very recently. But the job he has done has been remarkable. Now, when he comes on, you guys know how he is. He's very even-keeled. He's not going to get too high or too low, right? That's just how he rolls. But he's not going to sing his own praises by any stretch. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this is a guy that had a huge year. President's Trophy year when he took over the Florida Panthers as the interim coach after that whole fallout of Joel Quenneville. He got nominated for the Jack Adams, and they didn't even keep him as the head coach. So that has driven
Hockey's
him.
Crazy.
For sure. Then the Devils hire him as assistant coach. They have an unreal year last year with him as the right-hand man for Lindy Ruff. They kept Lindy Ruff. They didn't, and, you know, that would have been a tough thing, to move Lindy Ruff, a very respected veteran coach, aside for Andrew Burnett. But I think a lot of people in New Jersey are going, did we make a mistake letting the real brains behind, the real, you know, force behind how well that team played last year? Did we let him get away? And so it's really remarkable what Burnett is doing here.
It's ahead of schedule, I think, is fair to say.
I think they're ahead of schedule. And, you know, and Willie, not only – Coach Bruno for the Jack Adams Award. And I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, and I understand that, but this team is playing well. They're playing really good. They're one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League. But not only Coach Bruno, but what about Barry Trotz, you know, GM of the Year, what he's been able to do with this team. And it started, even though Poyle was still in the seat, but it started last, you know, toward the end of last season. And now it has bled over into this season. And what he's been able to do, the move he's made, he has to be a guy that has to be recognized as one of the, you know, better young GMs in the National Hockey League.
I agree with you. And it's so subjective how that gets calculated, who's the best coach, who's the best GM. But there's no doubt that when Barry Trotz took the podium and kind of unveiled what he wants, he's pretty much accomplished to this point everything he hoped to accomplish. You know, has the, you know, the winning culture, the veterans who are a good influence on the younger players. He has not disrupted the future. He has kept all of the resources down on the farm basically intact. it's been a mixed bag of what young players. In fact, they're a little bit of an older team now, you know, with Glass sitting out and with Parson and Tomasino down. They're a little more veteran than people realize now. But I still think the future's bright for what's happened in Milwaukee. Milwaukee now is going through a little bit of adversity, right? Askarov was pulled yesterday after giving up four goals. So that's probably a good thing in the big picture. You got to go through some tough times to come out the other side. But so I think there's a lot of growing still to be done with that young group in Milwaukee. But so you've got layers of how you're building it here. And there's still a long way from reaching the goals that he wants. But so far, I think everything he said he wants to map out, you can see that that progress.
You can see it coming to fruition. It makes sense. The moves that he made at the trade deadline, I think they make sense. Not an overwhelming buyer, not an overwhelming seller. So it's two pieces. It's Barry Trotz having a vision for the team, executing moves that align with that vision, and also executing moves that align with Andrew Burnett's system. And it's credit to Andrew Burnett to bring this team together that had gone from one system to another. Like, Roman Josue, I think, is the perfect, you know, poster child for that transition of systems. He struggled a little bit at the beginning of the season. Two assists last night. I mean, Roman Josue has been playing the best hockey in the last few weeks than he has his entire season. So it's clicking. Keep it going throughout the rest of the season. Still plenty of hockey left to be played. But 89.8% chance of making the playoffs. I'll take my chances on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts, your reaction on those Predators and what they did taking down Winnipeg 4-2 last night. Head coach Andrew Burnett will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Willie D. Mays, a little bit of breaking news. This just coming in from John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports. Quote, sources, barring an unforeseen set of circumstances, Jerry Stackhouse is not expected to return as Vanderbilt's head coach next season. I don't know what those unforeseen set of circumstances could be, but that coming in from John Rothstein, Jerry Stackhouse not expected to be back at Vanderbilt next season. We'll react to that. Plus, Tennessee Titan new free agents are being introduced as we speak. Tony Pollard is up at the podium. We will react to that as well. But now, joining us is Predators head coach Andrew Burnett, coming off of that 4-2 win in Winnipeg. First and foremost, Coach, appreciate you for joining us. I want to talk about this full streak that you've had the last month of play, but just focusing in on last night. Winnipeg, one of the top teams in the league, a Stanley Cup contender. You go into their arena and you dominate them really for a majority of that game. Was that a measuring stick kind of game to see where your team is compared to the top teams in the league?
Well, I think it was going to be a test. It was going to test us in all the different facets of our game. Test us, are we going as good as we think we're going? And, you know, we go in a little bit of a hostile environment, being in Winnipeg, it's a tough place to play. It was really, you know, the way we started, I think it was really proud of that group that we set the tone right away. And that building, that's hard to do. There's a lot of games you get out of there by the first TV timeout, you're down 2-0. So you can say a little bit of a measuring stick. For me, it's just the growth of our group, and we're still trying to build our game so it's airtight, and that was a good step. And like you said, it was a test at every facet.
Coach Andrew Burnett is with us. After that 9-2 loss against Dallas, this Predators team looked different. You know, the 8-game winning streak, the point streak, you've been beating some of the top teams in the league. What changed?
Well, I think, in fairness of what had happened, we had that long break, you know, and some teams are still playing. We get out of the break and kind of lost our game a little bit, which is normal. It's always the coach's biggest fear after a 10-day, 9-day break. And we just kind of, you know, in fairness to everything, we weren't sharp. And we played some teams and didn't like the game right from the start. And you play one, then you have 2 days off, and it was a Super Bowl. And we kind of just got lost a little bit. So I don't know what really changed, because I thought we were playing pretty good hockey up to the break. I think we just had to find our game back, and we had to dig in a little deeper, and we had to be a little bit more connected. We had to pull the same rope. We had to come together as a group and go through a little adversity, and I think that was healthy for us. Through the course of the season, we hadn't really gone through adversity, and that was a major test. And credit to the group, the veterans, the leadership, the players. You know, it could go a couple different ways after Dallas, and it went the way that proved to the whole organization that, hey, we're in this to win this, and we're going to rally together, and we're going to move forward here straight ahead.
We'll talk with Nashville's Predators head coach, Andrew Brunette. Now, Coach, how do you coach a team through the trade deadline? Because obviously, you know, some players may be gone, one or two here, but then you may be adding players. But how do you continue to keep guys, you know, within the framework of the game, keep them concentrated on the game because of all, knowing all of the stuff that is going around outside of the team in regards to the trade talk?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I mean, I think you've been through, we've all been through playing. It's tough. The distractions are at a different level. We're kind of on that cusp of maybe getting the playoffs, maybe not. Are we going to buy or sell? So I think there's a lot of noise that goes around the room. I thought we did a good job of keeping it tight. I think we kept our focus just on our game and everybody together. But it is hard. There's no easy, you know, I can't say that we did a great job of it or a poor job of it. We don't know. You know, it's just it's a tough time of year for the players individually. But I think we try to keep it as a collective group and collaborate with them, communicate with them, let them know where we're at, and just worry about hockey. And I think when you're a veteran in a league, you understand that this happens every year. And the only thing you can do, the only thing that really benefits you is your own game and how you play and how we play collectively as a group. You know, we pushed through and got into a position that we added. Obviously, we lost a pretty important piece in Yakov Trenin, but we added some pretty good players, and I think that energizes the group. I think it gives a little bit of a fresh, you know, a new fresh start, and, hey, we're in this to try to win this.
Now, is there a timetable on when a team picks up on, you know, what you're coaching them? Because you've been to several different places, and, you know, when you come in as a new coach, you bring in a new system, you know it's going to take guys time to get used to that system. And it seems like that's what was happening with your team. And now it seems like they've gotten used to the system. They figured it out a little bit. Guys understand their role. But more importantly, your goalie, UC Soros, is playing fabulous right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of things are happening in a good way. I think as a coach, you know, you're never patient. You know, you try to say, okay, I'll be patient. I know it's going to take some time for us to grasp this. I know it's probably uncomfortable for the players that played a certain way for a few years or their whole lives, you never know. And it's a little bit different. You know, it's a hard kind of system to understand in certain ways. So you try to be patient, but it's hard. And now I think you're seeing the players just realizing kind of what you're asking and why we're asking to do this. And, you know, they're kind of well-oiled right now and the understanding of what we're doing. It makes it a little easier. It takes the thinking, I guess, out of it. You know, as a player, if you're thinking, you're always a step behind. So right now, we're just playing hockey. It makes it a little bit easier. And obviously, Juice has been, and Lanks, our goaltending has been outstanding. And they maybe got overlooked here a little bit over the course of the year, this last stretch. They're a huge reason why we're at where we are right now.
We're talking to Andrew Brunette, head coach of the Nashville Predators. Big win last night over Winnipeg. Next up is the Seattle Kraken on Saturday night. And Bruno, along those lines, you know, you look at this streak, 11-0-2, and I you may disagree, but I wouldn't circle any of those games as flukes, right, where you had your goaltender have to stand on his head and make 45 saves to win. So when you look at that and you look at what this team is putting out when they're all connected and playing together, is that giving them a little more confidence of this isn't just a team that could sneak into the playoffs, but maybe go into the playoffs and feel like you've got a chance when you see what it's up, when you see what you can do when you play the way you did against a team like Winnipeg or Colorado here recently or some other examples?
Yeah, no, I think we've, through the stretch, I think we got what we deserved. Maybe even a, you know, game here that maybe we didn't get what we deserved. And I think we've played, like you said, connected. The transition of we have the puck a lot most nights. And I think we're understanding if we're willing to put the work in, you'll have the puck a little bit more. And when you have the puck a little bit more, it's more fun. So I think we're creating, we're playing in your face fast. We take away time and space. So we're doing a lot of good things that we talk about, but it's been a good stretch. Like you said, Willie, that we haven't really, you know, and we're going to go through a little adversity here again, and we're going to need, you know, certain nights where a goalie has to make 50 saves to win the hockey game. But as of now, I think when we're playing this style in this way right now, we put ourselves in a pretty good position to try to being able to win every night.
I saw the guys, and you were wearing one as well in Winnipeg, and a lot of people were looking at the hat says relentless, right? And that, I think anybody who's been watching the team can see, you know, that word. But why that word? Because I think of a guy like Kiefer Sherwood and the way he's played during this stretch, and you watch him every shift, you can see exactly what we're talking about. Where did that kind of come up, though, that word?
Well, I think it's just something that we, you know, I think preached all season long, that we want to be relentless on the pucks, relentless on the way we play, relentless on the tracking back, relentless on the work ethic, relentless when we're down a game, relentless when we're up a game. So I think the word sort of, we built our identity a little bit around the word without even thinking about it. It was just a word. But I think it caught my eye the more, you know, I watched and seeing Mike McCarron and Cole Smith. I mean, those guys, and Kiefer Sherwood, they are relentless in the way they play. If you look at Phil, you know, Factor, Gus, they're relentless. Now you're looking at Novi and Vanch and Janko, they're relentless. So I think the whole group, you know, collectively has grabbed it, and just watching it really stuck out. So I think that's where it came from. Not premeditated, not anything like that. I think it was just eye-opening here, especially the last, you know, 13 games, where when I'm watching video the next morning, that's what I said, the word always pops out. So it was just a good reminder that when you lose your game, you got to be relentless right away to get it back.
Tell me about Sherwood specifically, because here's a guy that has spent a lot of time in the AHL. He's had some partial seasons with some different organizations, and you can just tell the way he's wired. You know, he'll do anything to get to that next level and stay in the league. He knows he's got to be relentless to be in there. He was going through a stretch where he wasn't super productive, and then he was sort of the odd man out on a lot of nights, and now he's really found his spot. What do you see from him and that perseverance that it's really inspiring?
Yeah, I agree. You know, totally. And he'll do – I mean, he wants it so bad. I mean, there's certain days he almost feel – you know, when he was going through the stretch where he wasn't maybe playing up to his capabilities, you felt bad because he would do anything. He just kind of lost his game. And we had a few guys that lost that all at the same time. And I think, you know, they weren't there to kind of lift each other up and help each other. So our middle six kind of, we weren't really, you know, we were struggling to find any kind of anybody with a little bit of, you know, playing at top of their level. And he had to come out. You know, maybe he was in a position earlier, maybe an offensive position just wasn't working. Then we put him into like a little bit of a hound dog position, and he relished in it. And he's been, again, that line has kind of been the identity of our group here through this stretch, that we're going to bring that. And they all have that attitude, that hound dog mentality. And they're on top of pucks, and there's no space, and they're physical. And they've really pushed us. You know, I start that line every game. They've pushed us through this stretch and helped us as a group find our game, and they're the ones that, you know, some of the leaders of doing that.
Last thing for me, Jason Zucker scores last night. You go way back with him. He's only been with the team a few days, but you can see that he's a veteran. You know, he says all the right things. He's a team guy. But how quickly do you think he can pick up what you guys are doing? And you've got a guy in Colton Sissons that you've kind of charged with him and Anthony Beauvillier, kind of bring these guys up to speed. He's a sort of that glue guy that can help that process.
Yeah, Sis is great. I mean, and he's so underrated for what he brings every day, every game, how he is in the locker room, his leadership ability. And yeah, he's for me, he's a real comfort blanket. You know, sometimes, you know, you feel bad. Sometimes you got to do some things that probably, you know, probably carrying too much load. You're always worried about a little fatigue. But no, he's good. You know, and with Jason, you know, Jason's a great guy, great kid. I've had him for so long. He's really competitive, as you've seen. He's been on some really good teams. He's scored some big goals. He knows how to win. And I think he'll catch on to the system. I think he's such a great skater, and he's got a pretty good understanding. In Pittsburgh, it's a little bit similar, you know, and he'll get it. And same with Bolt. I mean, they're really good skaters. It's going to take a little time. I keep telling them that. It's going to be strange. I'm asking you to, you know, you're probably wondering why I'm asking you to do this, but just be patient, trust it, you know, watch, learn, ask questions, and you'll get there. They're both smart players. They're good hockey players, and they got good, They got good wheels, so they should fit in pretty easily here.
Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Andrew, really appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us. Safe travels back from Seattle this weekend.
I appreciate it. Anytime. Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Predators head coach Andrew Burnett. Appreciate him for stopping by. Coming up next, I want to get Willie's reaction to the breaking news. This just coming in from John Rothstein of CBS Sports. The Vanderbilt Commodores are moving on from Jerry Stackhouse. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get your reaction as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, live out here at BetMGM Sports Lounge. And we are broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. First reported by John Rothstein, college basketball insider for CBS Sports, and since confirmed by several other sources, Vanderbilt is expected to part ways with head basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse. I thought last night was a toughie for Vanderbilt. 14-point lead over Arkansas. They ultimately end up dropping that one in overtime. Vanderbilt's season ended last night. Willie, you're a Vandy fan. Your reaction to the news that Vanderbilt is parting ways with Jerry Stackhouse?
Well, you know, for Coach Stackhouse, I will say, he's always treated me as a former player very, very well. And so I hate to see anybody lose their job. You know, that's just how the business works. But I, as I've said really throughout this season where they've really struggled, you know, whether they won that game or not last night, I think it was – really a collapse. And when you have 6 years, and look, you know me, I think they should have made the tournament last year. I think they got a raw deal from the committee. But even so, to go from where they were the last couple of years, where I really did think they were moving it forward and on the verge of some good things, to have it dip so low this year in year six was alarming. And I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised, because I had heard some rumblings that they were going to try to give it one more shot,
yeah,
and really kind of put it to next year and say it's got to happen next year or else. But they have made the decision. And look, I look at social media and the Vanderbilt fans. They're hungry. They're frustrated. And I think, you know, they were probably at a point where they wanted to see a change. And so... I'm not against this move, as much as I like Coach Stackhouse and I wish him well, because I think he's a really good coach. I think the bottom line is he just didn't have enough good players. I think you give him equal talent, I think that guy is going to coach his way to a lot of wins. And I do wonder what's next for him.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising that they are relieving him of his duties. He was 28 and 60 or 26 and 60 in the SEC over that span. Now, last season they did go 11-7, which improved from 7-11 in the previous year.
Yeah.
But we thought that last year was going to be a sign of what we could possibly see entering into this season. And we just didn't see it for whatever reason. I do agree with you, Willie, that if he has the players, then I think he's a good coach. But I mean, you got to put part of that on him. Why he doesn't have the players? What didn't he do to try to go out and get the players? Was it all NIL? If that's the case, then, you know, it's not just he's at fault. Those that, you know, are part of the sort of athletic department could be at fault. The alumni could be at fault. Boosters, if you want to field a team nowadays, Willie, and this is just the way the landscape of college sports is, period, whether yeah. It's football, basketball, baseball, whatever. If you want the players, you got to pay for them, especially if you don't have that steep, rich, true history or tradition of winning, not just winning, but winning championships. When you are a team that's good sometimes, not, you know, you may go on a run where you have some good seasons. When you're a team or university like that, a program like that, you have to pay for the players. And it just didn't happen. So don't think that firing Jerry Stackhouse, things are going to change. Because if you keep doing the same things are going to happen until you realize that this is professional sports now. And if you want a team, you got to buy a team. That's just the way it is.
I agree. NIL is going to be a part of the equation going forward, and that will be a big question for the next coach is what do I have to work with?
Mm-hmm.
But I think if there's a knock on Jerry Stackhouse, I do think that he was not cut from the cloth of a lot of college coaches who came up through the ranks as the recruiter that is in everybody's living room, at every court, watching every game and searching for the right players. I mean, it because he was a great player, right? He was a great NBA player for a long time, and he was an NBA developmental league coach. And this was kind of the question from the very beginning, is when he came from that world, could he get into that recruiting world? And if he couldn't do it himself, would he have two or three people on his staff that did have that ability to just find the right players aside from the NIL? And now it makes it even tougher because it's a unique place to recruit to at Vanderbilt. Degree means something. You've got to like to go to school, right? You're not coming to Vanderbilt and not going to class. That's just how it is, right?
Yeah.
The coach has to accept that. But I think if there's one knock, I don't think Jerry Stackhouse really enjoyed that part of it, and he wasn't, like I said, developed as a coach that way. He's more, hey, give me the players, I'll develop them at practice. I think he really excelled in that area, but the formula wasn't quite enough for him to get over the top.
I wish Jerry Stackhouse nothing but the best, but this was the right move.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt fans know what it is like to be at the top of the college basketball world. We've seen what Memorial Magic can be or what it was, and it's gotten away from that. And I think the biggest indictment on Jerry Stackhouse was that the fans didn't have hope. It's one thing to lose a lot of games and to be bounced in the first round of the conference tournament, but you could say, hey, we have a lot of really young players that we feel good about. We have all these recruits coming in that we feel really excited about. I don't think that Vanderbilt fans had that sense of hope and excitement moving forward, that it wasn't just give them a couple more years and look what this basketball program could be. That's run out. And it's a really competitive league, and it's a league that's only getting better. So I wish nothing but the best for Jerry Stackhouse, but intrigued to see where Vanderbilt goes from here.
All right, because it's complete unknown for next year as well. I think that's the other thing that made it hard to say, okay, give them another year, because I don't think there's anybody coming back that you're saying, let's build a team around these two or three guys. You don't have that. And so you're really starting from scratch. And so if you're going to start from scratch, why not have a change at the top?
And at a certain point, one more year, that starts to run out. That messaging starts to get stale. All right, coming up next, the Titans have made two signings. Calvin Ridley is a Tennessee Titan. Mason Rudolph as well, going to be the backup going into this season. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next to react to those moves and moves across the NFL. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are live from the BetMGM Sports Lounge at Bridgestone Arena. And tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for updates of the SEC Men's Basketball Tournament, tipping off here in just a few minutes. Presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Toyota, and Guinness.